The O-Dog is on the panel tonight for the Leaf game. That's why he's in the studio, or supposed to be. Guy's back for one day. He's already just, what's he doing? Walking through the hall, stopping, chat. How many protocols are being broken right now? Right now, protocols probably being broken. There he is with the coffee he's not supposed to have. Anyway, Ray's coming up here in a moment. Ray's going to have the call tonight, Leafs Oilers. What are you doing over there? What's going on in that studio?
You don't even start. I'm not doing it.
I'm not doing it. He was going through the ice time with Joe from the bridge, breaking down the shifts. Like, I don't understand. He's like, well, top three in ice time. Great. What was his production? What did he do? How many loose puck battles? How many entered? Like,
he just wanted to prove a point that Torts and Dubois are still. I don't know.
I understand that. I understand the ice time argument, but obviously John Tortorella saw a decline in his play and gave him every opportunity to stick with it and finally said, I've had enough of this.
You know the guy's
nonsense.
Listening. Joe from the bridge, text we Noodles and explain why you are talking about this.
No, listen, no, we love Joe from the bridge.
We
He wasn't happy with me a couple of nights ago because I pointed out my displeasure in the flow of the game on Wednesday night. I didn't think the Leafs or Oilers had that much life. You know, there was beauty in the eye of the beholder. If you're a defensive guy, Strutty was on here. Strutty loved it yesterday. He's a stay-at-home hacker and slasher in front of the net. He loved what he saw on Wednesday night. Dave Tippett seemed to love what he saw on Wednesday night. And I understand that guys like myself have been harping on defense, defense, defense with both of these teams, Toronto and Edmonton. And I do think they played pretty well defensively. But I think it also had to do with the fact that nobody had buzz. Nobody had life. It's not like everyone was flying and you still made the right decision
every single time.
You,
that's a factor. And Jamie was in the building for Ottawa. There was times in both of those games, Winnipeg-Ottawa, where it was like there was nothing. There was no zip. It's like you could hear little conversations on the ice. With no fans in the rink, you're going to get a bunch of those.
Happened anyway, dude, and we just never really noticed it because the fans would stifle it a little bit, you know, or there'd be a scrum or two based on the fan reaction where you'd be like, yeah, there's still some life. But during the, you know, pockets of a game, there's going to be some, you know, everyone goes three and out from time to time. And it wasn't that entertaining. It just happens.
Keep in mind, too, I'll add in another wrinkle to this. When we watched the hockey in the bubble, that was the playoffs. Like, this is regular season. So you're getting early on regular season games in that bubble atmosphere. So I think the level's a lot lower than what we would see. I mean, that was for all the marbles right from the get-go in the bubble.
Yep.
So the intensity was through the roof. We felt it at home. The players felt it because they were fighting for their lives. Right now, they're looking at it going, this is game four. This is game five, and we've got 17 weeks of this. We're playing every second day, and we're playing against the same teams. And I think there's something to that, too.
I think you're right. There's not as much on the line. I mean, that's just factual. When you came back, you jumped right into the pool, and you better swim or you're going to sink. You know, it was playoff hockey, regardless of how they had titled it or playing round or all that stuff.
Right.
Every team was ready to go and knew what was on the line. That is clearly not available to them right now. But I am surprised. I will say this, and this goes league-wide. I haven't seen any animosity yet where it's, I'm playing this team for the second time in two nights. I am surprised that nothing has carried over. Like, there hasn't been a suspension yet that I'm aware of. There's
suspension?
Been some...
No, that's not happening.
Should have been. Well,
game?
I mean,
come on.
Tyler Myers,
that's on Armia. Exactly. Like, that, I think, is worthy of a look, you know, for sure. But I would have figured, generally speaking, early in the year, there are suspensions. And the league gets out in front of it and is like, hey, you know, let's cool down here. I know we're back
and we're happy here.
It hasn't happened yet. Maybe it's a complete coincidence. But I thought, the idea that you're starting a new year, which generally leads to like more, I don't know what it is, pent up frustration or
push,
I got to hit the ground running and I got to prove that I'm ready to play this year, combined with I'm seeing the same team again, something would have broken loose. But there haven't been really many fights. There's not many big hits. There's no scrums that I'm aware of. Occasionally it happens.
We had a couple scrums.
By that.
Yeah, we had Winnipeg-Ottawa last night. Brady Tkachuk had a scrum, and and
which is
got
who you would
it.
Expect was, to be in
yeah,
the middle.
Exactly.
Of.
But that's right. My point. Like Edmonton, Calgary is going to have scrums. I think Calgary, Vancouver, like there is going to be. It just may take to game four. We might see it with Toronto and Edmonton. When you play four times in 10 days, you might see Zach Cassian and, you know, Wayne Simmons get into it. Like there are players that will get into it. We haven't seen an abundance of it. You're right. Like
I'm just saying I fully expected it to happen. And the way the trend is going early on, maybe I was wrong in that. I thought seeing the same team more often than not early in the season, it's been a while since teams played, there'd be some bad hits, you know, just there'd be something that would happen that the other team didn't like. There'd be blowouts that would get carried away. And I haven't really picked up on that league-wide. Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline here is Ray Ferraro. Ray, where do you stand on that? That we're, you know, 10 games, 10 days into the season, a lot of teams have played the same teams at least a couple times, if not a few times, and I haven't picked up on any crazy animosity or big rivalries brewing yet based on just the nature of the game.
No, I don't. I mean, I was watching Noodles game last night, and, you know, as you say, you kind of expect that if somebody's going to be in the middle of something, it's going to be one of the Kachucks, right?
Mm-hmm.
And because they're right in the middle of the game. But I think, Brian, a lot of us might think of the games the way they used to be, when the animosity or the anger or frustration with somebody else seemed to carry over game to game to game. The games are just played different mm-hmm. now. Like, so I don't think I'm really surprised, to be honest with you. I mean, maybe a little bit, but I think that'll still develop as the year goes on. You know, Jamie's done a couple of games from on site, and you know, when you're in the building, and I did the one in Ottawa last Friday, it all feels so weird, and it must feel weird to the players, too.
Ray, yeah. The big shift in the NHL yesterday is being talked about as the shift. What did you make of it, and where do you think it goes from here?
Pierre-Luc Dubois in Columbus.
Yeah. Well, I had a lot of bad shifts. I don't think I had many that looked like that. Didn't look like he was giving it the old college try, I got to say there. Like, that looked like Beer League Thursday, 9:35 start.
Hayes hates it. He's just appalled by it.
Because I actually play like that. That's me at midnight at Chesswood, and I've had four beers before the game, and I'm like, I'm not stopping and starting once tonight. I'm going to set a new record. And
okay, so you can pick on whose side you are, but I get it from... Like, okay, clearly the relationship is severed. That's not happening anymore.
No.
And so, but Tortorella can't keep putting him on the ice if he's not going to try.
No, he's got to stay home, Ray. He's got to stay home.
Yes, he's got to be accountable to John Dudge, to the 17 other guys that are out there trying to stay in the league. So this guy's got 11 or 12 or 15 teams that are, you know, falling over themselves to go and acquire them. And a lot of guys are just happy to have one team that, you know, like we didn't have that kind of pull, right? Yeah. Like I just was happy someone wanted me to play today. And so I don't know how that trade gets made, guys, that Columbus comes out feeling whole, because I saw LeBron's story, said 11 teams called Jarmo Kekalainen today. I'm sure they were really offering great packages up for him, right? Like,
yeah.
Can you imagine those offers? I got a fourth liner and a couple of second round picks for you. How's that?
The vultures will be out. And the thing is, he's a really good player, as you know, Ray. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. He's a very good player. But I used the James Harden analogy that we hammered away at for weeks, where we said this guy's sabotaging his own team. Yes, he's dragging his ass around trying to get out there, and I didn't like it. I didn't like the way Harden acted, and quite frankly, this looks even worse to me because he's doing it during the game. Harden just didn't show up at camp on time. He'd be at the club, he's out of shape, but when the ball went up, he played.
Dude, he had one bad shift. Harden was in Vegas in Atlanta, and he was at peeler joints instead of...
He didn't have one bad shift. He's Tortorella's admitted. The guy's, it's been five games where it doesn't look right.
Yeah, that's the one thing I would say. Sorry to interrupt, Brian, is that, you know, somebody should go back. If you want to really dive into this, you should go back. We should go back and look at all of his shifts.
No,
and
thanks.
Say, is this? No, I know. But what I'm saying is you want to do a deep dive and see if there has been a steady decline. That's the quickest way to do it, is look at how hard this guy's played.
Because and we know he wants out, and that right. one shift is, it screams at you. I hear what you're saying, right. Oh, it's one shift, but it's an awful shift.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it's lazy, and it's, I don't care that I'm playing
in
the NHL.
If I'm Papersaw, I'm telling him, go home and don't come back, because it's just not doing anything.
It's an ugly look, and it should hurt his reputation. It doesn't have to for the rest of his career.
Yeah, what if a great destination in the league, like an Anaheim, looks at that shift and says, well, we're out of that, we don't want any part of that. You're just, too many people are putting eyes on that. It's not like...
You know
like
what my favorite part
ago.
Of that shift was? You know what my favorite part of that or that whole thing was? When they showed him guys on the bench and he had both gloves off picking at his fingernails. I'm like, he might as well be at a coffee shop.
Yeah.
Like, look, Noodles was a backup goalie, so, you know those nights you're not getting in. Yeah. I knew the nights, and I'm sure O had them too, where you get benched and there's a certain point where you trick yourself into thinking that you might get in or get back in the game, but then there's that moment and you go, nah, I'm not playing anymore.
No, the worst is when the guy, he gives you like with 10 seconds the opposition will score and he'll say, okay, go out there, and it's like, are you kidding me?
Yeah,
like, no thanks, I don't need to go out there for the last 8 seconds of a game.
Go serve a penalty too.
I got benched one night in Atlanta while we were in Buffalo, and Kurt Fraser had come in and lost his mind about taking too many penalties in the first period. So after the first period, I go out for the start of the second period. They drop the puck. Centerman pushes it through my feet. I trip him. I get a penalty. I mean, it's like 4 seconds, right? He's just finished. So I go in the penalty box, and I can see he's staring at me, shaking his head. And I'm like, I'm so done. Like, I'm not playing, right? So yeah. I go back there, and I sit right in the middle of the bench in front of him, so maybe he'll think it's a good idea to put me out or something. Yeah. Then I kind of realized that I could be doing jumping jacks and I'm not going out. So I moved down by the backup goalie. We're having a chit-chat during the game because I'm not playing. We pull the goalie. We're down a couple with like 3 minutes left. I haven't been on the ice since like 8 o'clock at night. It's now 9:30. And he calls my name to go out for the goalie. We pulled the goalie. I don't even have my chin strap done up. And I jump on the ice and I skate. We're entering the zone. Somebody shoots it from the wing. The rebound comes right to me. I shoot it in the net. Hey, look at me. Aren't I fantastic?
Wow.
Peter Klima.
Inspirational benching.
And so the problem was I had sworn at him in the penalty box when he was shaking his head at me, but I didn't realize it. Because after the game, we're on the plane, and he comes up and says, hey, did you swear at me today? And I'm like, not a chance. He goes, we were just watching the video, and the penalty box camera caught you swearing at me. Yeah, it didn't go so well.
That candid camera in the NHL, I love it. You get caught.
I love those shifts. Like, even as a backup, I would sit, and if a guy's having a tough night, you're right, Ray, they'll end up down by me, and I end up talking them through, and it's all right, you know, or whatever.
Right.
I'll never forget our buddy Strutty had 3 consecutive shifts in the minors, and we had a coach named Jimmy Roberts. Jimmy was a grizzled old veteran, and Strutty was -3 in the first 10 minutes, and he kept yelling, Strudwick! Like, he was screaming at him, and one time Strutty just served a pizza up the middle, and they went in and scored. And Jimmy was just staring at Strutty as he skated to the bench. And Strutty knew he was done. Like, and the rest of the game, like 50 minutes, it was like he was done. And Jimmy just stared at him the whole game, just stared down at him. And Strutty was like, he's looking at me again, isn't he? And I'm like, yeah, he's looking at you. Don't worry. But it happens. Like, and the coaches, those grizzled coaches don't let you off the hook. Like,
No.
they'll keep reinforcing why you're sitting there and you got your ass nailed to the bench. But it happens. The worst thing is a goalie getting pulled, right? Because the whole building knows.
Everyone knows that you're getting benched.
Oh,
yeah, and you're not going back in, eh?
No,
you're not going
not
back,
a chance.
Man.
It's the end of the road. Thank you for ruining our whole team's night. We just flew across the country.
Exactly.
You gave up three goals on seven shots.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that happened to me in L.A. That's where Gretzky went off. I was in for 10 minutes. And then, you know, we didn't go out. Everyone was well-behaved the night before the game, and then one of the players leaned over and said, we might as well have gone out last night with this nonsense. Like, yeah, I feel so bad.
Isn't it, like, when you think of it, the funny stuff that happens when it's going really bad,
yeah,
like, that's the stuff you can remember and just crack up. We got benched one night, me, Andrew Brunette, and Mike Stapleton. We were minus three in the first period in Ottawa. And Kurt Fraser comes down and he goes, you guys are done. And as he left, Mike says, what took him so long? We were dying. We couldn't get out of our end. Every time we turned around, Damian Rhodes was picking it out of the net again. And we're like, just get us out of here, man. And he's like, you're done. And we're like, thank goodness.
Thank you, mercy, finally. With Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst. Leafs Oilers tonight on TSN Radio. You'll have the call. You can hear it on TSN Radio. And no Matthews tonight. So that's a big hit, needless to say, for the Leafs. And we referenced this in the last hour. Mitch Marner leading the NHL in minutes per game for forwards. And I think he played 26 a couple of nights ago. I got to think he's probably going to double down on that. But he can't play the whole night. Tavares and Nylander can't play the whole night. The depth is going to get challenged, and the attention to detail and the way they can defend will get challenged again tonight.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting that, a game after, Austin Matthews said, I think we're game planning too much for the two guys, and we got to go play. We got to get more aggressive. And even Muzzin said that a little bit too. And yet the way they're going to have to play now is closer to that. It's more, it's closer to a grind than zipping up and down the ice. But Marner, like those, the top end of the lineup, they're going to be on the ice the whole night, and I think it's going to be a grindy, ugly, not a very smooth looking game. Like that's what my vision of this is, because Edmonton's not all of a sudden going to open it back up. They finally won, and it was 2-1, and they'll hope their power play's a little better and all that sort of thing. But I don't think there's a lot of room tonight.
Well, we brought that up, that I wonder if Dave Tippett, the head coach in Edmonton, actually would prefer Matthews to play based on what you just said, that he's been hammering home, hey, guys, we got 2 points and we played hard, we played defensively, and let's do that again. And I wonder if he's concerned that his players are going to think, hey, Matthews isn't even here. We can win 5-1 tonight. Like, let's just go get it. And in a weird way, it might scare a coach, because – the Oilers might allow, cheating to develop back into their game.
Well, I guess it could. The one thing is, they're not far enough along the road yet, right? Like they don't have enough good play behind them to be really confident, I don't think.
Or they shouldn't be. No, they
shouldn't
be.
Right, like they're scratching and clawing for everything right now too.
Yeah, well, exactly. And listen, it's they play tonight. They play two more times next week in Edmonton. So I remember us having this conversation on Wednesday leading into the first game, thinking this could be a real turning point for Edmonton one way or the other, because they didn't have a great start. And if the Leafs take 3 or 4 or 4 or 4, maybe Oilers looking up and thinking, man, that's gone from us. But now I'm sure they're thinking the opposite, like they probably should be. Where they're kind of free rolling here. They're playing with house money. They got the first win on Wednesday night. Matthews is out tonight. If they knuckle down here, the Oilers could walk out of here with 2 wins, and all of a sudden, doesn't matter that you started 1-3. It's all good again.
Well, I think there's going to be lots of times this year where 1 week's going to look like a disaster, and the next week will look pretty good. And now, because it's early, it just has the sense like everything is so urgent. But if there's two places that feel like it is, the house is a little bit on fire, if the house could a little bit be on fire, it's Vancouver and Edmonton. Mm-hmm. Everywhere else, it seems to be, not bad. You know, like Ottawa, I think they're pretty pleased for the most part. Winnipeg's played a couple of good games in a row. Calgary's going okay. But, you know, Vancouver and Edmonton, it seems like, you know, they're going uphill for most of it.
Yeah, I know this market well enough to know that it's not far off here either way. Where they lose tonight and Matthews can't play Sunday in Calgary, everyone's on edge all the time, waiting for it in Toronto. Yeah. I'm not saying they should be, but we all know the way this market works and the way it plays out. And you're right, though, like Vancouver, we're how many thousand kilometers away, and we can feel the heat. Like, tweeted something so innocent and deleted it because he's like, it's not even worth putting up with this kind of stuff.
Dude, I got just torched. They're like, you're a loser. We have your gold medal. I was just like, I don't need this in my life.
I thought that was a great chirp. Whoever wrote that is very funny.
It's such a gutless, but it's pretty.
The exact wording was, we love still having your gold medal here in Vancouver. I'm like, okay, bud, I'm just.
And all then you people said were was, like, it's a little bit crazy.
Yeah, I
out
said,
there
hockey
right
Twitter in Van. There is tension right now. That was it. End of tweet. And I just got, people there hate my guts. And I'm just like, I'm deleting this. No way. No thanks.
Well, I'll tell you, if the ship or the bandwagon was full before, it lost a lot of passengers last night. Like, it looked ugly. It looked like, I don't know how much of the game you guys stayed up to watch, but it just kept getting worse and worse and worse and worse. And so Twitter out here is on fire again. Mm-hmm. It'll be like this all year. Good week, they're the best. Bad week, they're the worst. Like, right. It's really, you know, they're running out those kids and they just got steamrolled. And you're like, oh, man, I'm just going to stay on the sidelines and just watch this.
And you got Montreal again tomorrow night.
I also agree, though, guys. I think it's going to be week to week. And there's going to be hot weeks and cold weeks and lead changes in this standings. Like, we are going to be watching the standings like a hawk every night.
Which is awesome. That's what it should be. Think about what we just went through, like 5 months of nothing.
You're right, but the anxiety level in six out of seven markets, if you're going to remove Ottawa, I don't want to remove them yet, but I'm just saying if realistically, from an expectation standpoint, the anxiety level of six markets is going to be extremely high.
It's going to be a roller
coaster. All year long.
Because Montreal's living in the sun right now, man, and they deserve to feel good.
Yeah, they deserve it.
But they're three or four games away from saying, oh, I knew Bergie didn't know what he was doing.
Tony Marinaro going crazy
going nuts.
In Montreal.
He need to blow it up and build it, rebuild it again. They're not far off. They're not. They're three losses away from that. I know the way it works.
I think they're pretty good, though. They look good. They look pretty balanced. So I think they did a really interesting thing here. You know, they signed Frolik and Perry, and they're on the taxi squad. And so now they lose Joel Armia, who had a great start for them. And so they put in Corey Perry. Like, right. It's not like they're putting in a bunch of guys that don't know how to play. And Michael Frolik, I think he's playing tomorrow too. And they got, like, guys that have played, you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of NHL games playing. It's a well-constructed team. We'll see how well it all turns out, but it looks like a well-constructed team.
Yep, they're in a good spot. They're off to a great start, Montreal. And we'll see what happens throughout the weekend. By Monday, things are going to change again. They'll be jockeying, and Leafs will be out west for the first time, and we'll see what happens
tonight. Can hardly wait for those tweets over the weekend. Can't wait out here. They're waiting for you.
No, there'll be none. Thank you, Ray. There'll be none.
He's out. He's recusing himself from Twitter. Not doing it anymore.
Beautiful. Yeah, till the next time.
All right, buddy. We'll do it Monday at 5.
Hey, have a good weekend, guys. See you.
Yep, you too. There he is, Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Their showroom remains open by appointment only, or you can shop and buy online at mapletoyota.com to receive rates from 0%. Leafs Oilers tonight on TSN Radio and on TSN. Ray will have that call with Gord Miller. So we'll keep teeing that up throughout the afternoon. Oh, you're going to be on a panel? Is it a quiz night tonight? I thought I saw something about that.
Okay, I've been waiting for a long time for a quiz.
Wow.
Okay, so we got the quiz
love
going,
it.
And you're going to be in there. Are you in the back panel, or are you on the main desk? How does that work with all the...
Back panel. I'm back panel guy.
That's a good spot.
I love that.
I like
that's
that.
A great spot back there. That's prime real estate, if you ask me. Prime real estate.
I agree.
I love it.
I don't even care, to be honest with you. It's just wherever you are, you are.
How are you holding up with that sling and getting on your suit and stuff?
Like my neck, my upper neck, and like trying to kind of hold it together is putting strain on other elements of my frame, and it's just.
What's the timeline on wearing that thing?
I have one more week.
That's not bad. You're already through a week. That's not bad at all.
Yeah.
But then what do you got to do? Like, keep it straight
for
a week or two?
Well, the worst thing is, dude, like, my left arm is starting from scratch, it feels like. Like, when if I take a shower, like, my left arm is...
You lose muscle mass.
Dude, it's from scratch.
Yeah.
It's like my left arm was useless, and it's got to start from scratch. I'll spend 8 hours a day in rehab, though. I don't care. It's about golf. It's about feeling better.
You got to gain that 20 off the tee. That's you got to start bombing it like Sungjae Im, man, at the American Express.